Yesterday we mentioned that the parable today really fills out yesterday's parable about the dishonest steward. Jesus in the gospel, he really juxtaposes two things. So he juxtaposes worldly prudence, which we talked about yesterday, which would be like shrewdness, astuteness, or street smart, with supernatural prudence, or the highest of supernatural prudence is wisdom. And then today, he juxtaposes dishonest wealth versus true riches. This contrast that we have in the gospel today, Jesus says, "I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. If therefore you are trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth or true riches?" What does Jesus mean by dishonest wealth? He is not specifically talking about wealth that has been stolen or obtained fraudulently, although it could include that, but more generally, money or material things, and we can even expand that in our own day to what we would call virtual wealth. Because material things of land and houses, we can only have so many land and houses and so on and so forth. Other we run out of land and we run out of materials for houses. But virtual wealth, which is electronic coinage or a bank account or electronic money, we never can seem to get enough. It can never sort of stop. So what does Jesus mean by dishonest wealth? He is talking about material things, money. These are not bad in themselves, of course, but we too easily rely on them and spend a lot of time and energy trying to obtain them. They are labeled dishonest because they promise something they cannot give. Security, prestige, happiness. Yet too often we strive to find these in material wealth. Jesus says, use the resources that God has entrusted to us as stewards to make friends. So when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Not if it fails, because it will fail, but when it fails, we'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. We cannot take it with us. No one ever saw a U-Haul following a hearse. Another way of putting it is, I don't know if you've ever seen the comedian Brian Regan. He has this sort of funny expose. The situation is he's with on this date, and he goes with her and her friends to this art museum. Her friends are really artsy and so on and so forth. And one of her friends comes up to him and says, "Well, who's..." He's trying to, of course, play like he knows what he's talking about, because, "Oh, this is beautiful art and this thing." And he says, "Well, who's your favorite artist?" And he's kind of like for a loss of words. And he says, "Well, Monet." He's like, yeah, I love Monet. I can't get enough Monet. I'm always trying to get more and more Monet. that's the kind of sort of sometimes our desire to try to get more and more and more material wealth, or this dishonest wealth that Jesus is talking about. But Jesus juxtaposed this to true wealth. True wealth is found with the poor in spirit, that is, finding our fulfillment in life by following Christ, who, though he was rich, became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. Jesus is calling us to be poor in the things of the world, so that we may be rich in the things of God. We make friends when we share our resources with the needy. And this is what St. Paul is talking about in that first reading. In fact, he even talks about a kind of like eternal bank account that we all have. This doesn't really exist, but we all have to give an account of our life. But the thing is, we already have an account. Whether it's empty or it's more full, that's going to be the difference. But St. Paul, he's trying to tell the Philippians how grateful he is for the gift that they had given. They had supported him materially through their donations while he was going to the various churches in Thessalonica and Athens and even in Corinth. So he didn't want to demand anything from all those churches, because he didn't want, in a sense, to the gospel to be watered down. But the Philippians were always very generous with St. Paul. And he's trying to help them to recognize that this giving, and it really was a gift from the heart, is and supplying this bank account or increasing this bank account for you. He says he's grateful to give for the gift. It wasn't the amount that he received, it was the generosity of the giver. Kind of reminds me, there was a novel called The Ultimate Gift. I think they made it into a movie sometime ago. But it was about this grandson whose grandfather was going to give him his inheritance, but he had to, each day for a month, he had to give a gift. So he started out with giving blood. He started out with babysitting, I think, for one day. He helps deliver food for those people who are disabled. He helps an elderly person. Anyway, he has to do this for a month in order to get this inheritance. But by doing this, what he comes to realize is that both the giver, who is himself, and then the receiver, have more than they started with. So he found that his true wealth was really giving this gift of himself. And then when he inherited all the money or whatever he had, God, I don't remember what was in the account, but it didn't really matter. You know, at first he was thinking, what am I going to do with all this money, this inheritance that I'm going to get? By the end, that wasn't even important, was how am I going to give it? How am I going to give it away? I think that's where Jesus brings it all to a conclusion in the statement of the two masters. In order to truly understand this parable, we need a maturing of our faith in wisdom, which we talked about yesterday, and an emptying out of our desire for dishonest wealth in order to strive for true riches. Jesus is really calling us to examine ourselves honestly to see if he is the true wealth that we seek with all our heart, our mind, and soul. Jesus concludes this parable today by saying we cannot serve two masters. We will either serve God or we will serve money. We would rather not have to serve one at the exclusion of the other, but Jesus makes it clear, if we love one, we will hate and despise the other. St. Paul will put it very succinctly. He says, the root of all money is the root of all evil. How many of us can truly say that we hate or we despise money? Probably not many of us. At the very least, though, we need to be able to witness that being a disciple of Jesus is truly my greatest treasure, and it is worth everything to follow him. There's a contemporary Christian hymn which has this beautiful verse that says, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, greatest treasure of my longing soul, my God, like you, there is no other. True delight is found in you alone. Your grace, a well too deep to fathom. Your love exceeds the heaven's reach. Your truth, a fount of perfect wisdom, my highest good and my unending need.